You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Today we're joined by Nick Lee, a non-executive chairman of Toru PLC, and Scott Liveson, the company's chief executive officer and founder of S Ventures. Since the reverse takeover in May, transforming Riverfort into Toru, the business has repositioned itself as a health and wellness group with a portfolio of purpose-driven consumer brands. From the recent Oaf gluten-free launch at Tesco's, navigating brand development in a saturated wellness market, Nick and Scott bring dual lenses of strategic capital allocation and entrepreneurial execution. We're diving into two core themes today, how to build a brand and how to scope out opportunities. So, gentlemen, first of all, welcome to
Vox. Thank you.
It's great to see you both. Now, Scott, let's start with the basics. When you're building a brand from the ground up, especially in something as competitive as the health and wellness sector, what are the non-negotiables for you? What are you looking for?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what we really want is a number of factors to be appearing. And obviously, you've got to have a great tasting product. You've got to have something that people are going to want to repeat by, something that's going to then appear in a sort of regime where they would like it weekly, they think about it and they'd like to come back to it. And secondly, it's really got to be targeting from a brand perspective, from an ingredients perspective, from obviously where it's being sold perspective. Who is it targeting? You know, what are people looking for? And research and data analysis is quite a key part of this. And, you know, for example, when we do various pieces of research, we might find that Gen Z, for example, will find various brands boring or unappealing or unattractive. And it's about looking for what people are going to buy, what people are going to be attracted to. And it's all buried in the data to a point. But really, the fundamentals are a great product with great provenance, with a great set of ingredients that avoid, where possible, all of these chemicals that a lot of other, you know, products have in them these days and historically, and build the base from there.
Yeah, it seems very often whenever I find a brand that I like, certainly with their protein bars and things like that, it turns out they're just full of sugar or chemicals and things like that, which is always quite frustrating when you're a consumer of these products. But I suppose from an investor's perspective, how do you distinguish between, you know, a great product and a scalable brand opportunity? I mean, what are the metrics or signals do you look for at the early stages?
Yeah, that's another good question. So we're very specific when we're looking for opportunities. It's easy to see a bright, colourful brand that has maybe a few million of revenue, but has effectively potentially bought their revenue, spent a lot on advertising, made a lot of noise, perhaps done a lot of aggressive promotions where people are getting it off the shelf because they've been specifically targeted aggressively with marketing campaigns. But they may not be repeat buying the business. We've got to be careful. They might not be buying the product again. So we've got to be quite careful in finding businesses that actually have proper sticky revenue. They have proper traction of repeat customers. They have effectively organic growth as well as sort of, you know, paid for growth. So I think if a brand has some listings on with some reasonable retailers and they've been there for a reasonable time, that's a great bellwether. That's a great indication of a product that's continually selling. What we don't like is brands that sort of come and go online, that get massive D2C revenue that might be, as I said, based on advertising. So provenance, as in time in the market, time on shelf, as in, you know, have a Tesco or an Asda kept that product on shelf for a number of years? Is there proof in the pudding that people keep buying it, they haven't delisted it, etc.? So those are the sort of fundamentals. And then what's really important is a sort of growth curve that isn't related to massive advertising spend. So are there new stores coming on board? Is there year-on-year growth for their particular products? And do they then have a sophisticated, well-thought-out process and set of ingredients and product that's going to work and effectively solves a problem with an audience that is there and an audience that's growing?
Tulu now has a portfolio of very different businesses: snacks, supplements, gluten-free products. What's the common thread that connects these together? You know, how do you approach scoping out synergies across such varied assets?
Yeah, so our area of expertise, if you like, is health and wellness. So we're looking for brands and we're acquiring brands that are specifically in that space. Products that are good for you, but products that taste good. And more regime-based products. And so we've got Juvella, which is a pharmaceutical-based gluten-free brand that we've now launched, a new brand called Oath. Oath's gone live in Tesco already. We did a lot of data research on that, and it's now gone live. We've got Pulsin, which is the protein bar and fiber bar and nutritional supplements business, purely a little crisp business. And then we've obviously got a data-centric D2C tech arm called Market Rocket that can help all of those grow. And they're all on a common theme of wellness, but we also like the various strategies. For example, we can share resources, put factories together, have centralized costs, in some cases shared ingredients. And if we're looking for targets to acquire in the future, we'll be considering what uses our existing types of ingredients, what uses potentially our processes, what can we fit into our existing infrastructure. And there are opportunities out there with brands that might be outsourcing their manufacturing, where we could obviously then increase the margins, etc. But the theme is effectively health and wellness. We're looking specifically to create home run challenger brands that can go into a market aggressively, take a market share very quickly. And that's what we've done with Oath. We've spent a lot of money and time on data on what the consumer wants, what's going to fit. Thankfully, the buyers agreed with us and gave us sort of unprecedented number of products on shelf and number of stores. So we're looking for those runaway brands that will go into the right place at the right time. So, is there a sort of fragmented category, for example? We think gluten-free bread is a bit of a fragmented category. And actually, we've got a really great challenger brand now, which could have exponential growth in what is a big market. And Pulsin has a lot of provenance. Pulsin's been around over 25 years. It's well known for its credentials and ingredients. And that's playing in a very big market. And again, we've got a lot of work going on now about how do we make the perfect product in that sector? Because a lot of competitors do have it wrong. They have it wrong with their ingredient set. They have it wrong with their marketing audience and strategy. So, yes.
Well, when you mentioned the sort of Oath launch in Tesco's, and be a little bit cheeky if you don't mind, because I find the subject fascinating. And I appreciate there's probably a lot of things you can't share with us, but how do you get a brand, one of your products from, say, a corner shop into one of the largest sort of grocers in the United Kingdom? I mean, what steps, what's the difference between, that cut between, corner shop and national retail outlet? How do you balance, bold innovation, I suppose, with that retail buyer's experience? What's it take?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I think there's always an element of luck to a certain degree, but really the buyers are intelligent. They have a lot of data. They have a big teams. They've done a lot of research. They've done all of their homework, and they have an enormous set of data that gives them all of the trends and all of the current things that are going on. They know exactly what's selling where and why. They're obviously following trends, and they've done their homework. So when we sit in front of them, we have to have done our homework. So we have to be basically explaining, this is your category, these are the competitors, these are the units per store per week, this is what we feel we can achieve, this is our brand and how it looks and how it tastes, and this is why it tastes like this, and this is why it looks like this, because of this data-centric decision-making process, which is around, countless interviews, countless surveys with consumers in different subsets. And basically, you have to do your homework and you have to work hard at it. You can't just present any old product. It has to have a specific strategy for a specific audience in a specific sector. And, we've managed to do that well over the years with various brands and personally in previous experiences. We've managed to crack it in a few. You don't get it right all the time. But Oath, the new gluten-free bread range, I think has certainly hit the criteria. And Tesco agree. And obviously, proof's in the pudding. It has to be repeat purchase. It has to go and have a long life. But it's hard work. It's hard work to get it right. And then the convenience stores, you know, there's also different price points and different types of consumers that are in different places. There are mass market prices and products. There are more prestigious prices and products if you compare different retailers. I won't mention any names, but you know, you can imagine there's different distribution points that require different types of products and price, if you understand.
Yeah, and I suppose negotiating with those buyers must be quite an intimidating experience. I mean, I suppose they're trying to get the best out of you. So that's fascinating. Thank you for sharing that with us. I suppose then, looking forward, what kind of opportunities excite you the most right now, you know, in the wellness sector? I mean, it's a booming sector. Are you looking to acquire now, build, partner? You know, how can investors understand where Touru's headed next?
Yeah, so acquisitions are always on the radar and we remain alert. We've got a lot of opportunities that we consider. We've also got a lot of organic internal growth and exciting plans ahead to focus on. And we want to be careful not to be dabbling and spreading ourselves too thinly. But we're looking at opportunities. And now as Touru PLC, we're on AIM. We have a public presence. And, you know, our idea is to scale as quickly as possible with excellent runaway challenger brands and potentially very clever acquisitions. And the market's there, the market's growing. And I think that, you know, what's important on certainly on the public markets and what's also very important on within manufacturing businesses is scale. Scale is key. And that's what we're focusing on. Whilst we're a little embryo now, our sights are to build and build scale professionally and properly in that sector.
Great. Well, indeed, as they say, it's sort of great oaks come from acorns, don't they? So, Nick and Scott, thank you so much for your time today. It's fascinating to look at brand building from both, I suppose, creator and capital allocation perspective. And for investors watching, Touru PLC, it's clear the company's aiming to blend disciplined investment strategy with consumer-led innovation in the wellness sector. To find out more, visit TouruPLC.com or follow them at Vox Markets for all the latest news and updates. Thank you for watching.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.